Well, let's take our Bibles and look together in Daniel chapter 6 for the message that I'll be delivering here. Daniel chapter 6. And I've entitled this, Lessons from the Lion's Den. This is quite a long chapter, but I want to try to get down through it so that we can see the entire picture that we have here. This has long been a beloved Bible story, I believe, for most people that grew up hearing the stories of the Old Testament. And there are a number of dramatic features about this story, whether it has to do with the jealousy of political subordinates, the vanity of the king, the integrity of Daniel, and of course the power and preservation of God, even over wild animals and violence. That's one of the themes that we see in this story, that God is sovereign and directs all things and rules over all, whether it's men or creatures. But what's this all about? I know we've heard people say, dare to be a Daniel. And so people are encouraged to be like Daniel and face opposition, affliction, with the same sort of perseverance and faith that Daniel did. But I believe that what we have here in Daniel is more a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like all of the prophets and priests and kings of the Old Testament, they were set up and established as types of the Lord Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And as we go down through here, we'll definitely see in Daniel how the Lord sustained him throughout this affliction and how he endured even the threat of lions, which we know in Scripture, Satan is described as a lion going about seeking whom he may devour. So this would be representative of the trials and temptations that our Lord Jesus Christ endured at the hands of men. That's what it says there in Hebrews, that he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. And yet by his obedience came forth victorious. That's what we see here. Any obedience that Daniel had was given of the Lord. But as the Son of God coming in the flesh to earn and establish that righteousness necessary for God to be just and justify that people that he gave to his son, it was necessary that even though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. So let's look first of all here in verses 1 through 3, how Daniel was condemned to the lion's den and what were the circumstances that brought it about. It says here, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And I believe there you could put a capital S, the excellent spirit of God was in him. Just like with the Lord Jesus Christ, he was given the spirit without measure as a man, though he was God. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So here it pleased Darius, it says. Secular history of this period has no record of a ruler named Darius in the particular period and place recorded here in Daniel 6. So there are three possible explanations for that. I don't believe that we go to history to prove the Bible, but we take the Bible to prove history. And so, first of all, it may be that Darius was simply another name for Cyrus. We do know that secular history records the name of Cyrus, who ruled the Medo-Persian Empire during this period. But it also may be that Darius was actually one called Cambyses, who was the son of Cyrus, and he served under his father as a ruler of Babylon and later inherited the throne of the entire empire. So there are some options. Thirdly, it may be that Darius was an ancient official known as Gubaru in ancient documents that Cyrus appointed as ruler over Babylon immediately after he had captured Babylon. And so there's some options that we know can explain perhaps why in history there's not necessarily one called Darius. But the point we see here is how the Lord purposed that Daniel be distinguished. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, he came among men, but he was distinguished above even all princes and rulers of the day. Daniel was one of three leaders that the Lord caused to be appointed under Darius, and he, by his comportment, by his wisdom and leadership, was put above the other two leaders because of, as we read there, the excellent spirit that was in him. This was the Spirit of God that was separating him apart. And with reason, because Daniel was there, yes, as a captive in Babylon, but also as a representative of a people, his people, the Jewish people, that the Lord would preserve through him. And we see that as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Everything about our Lord Jesus Christ was commendable and not only agreeable to his Father, but as we're going to see, even those that were his enemies found no fault with him. So here's where we see in verses 4 through 9 now this plot against Daniel that is conceived and initiated out of jealousy. And we know by comparison, they plotted against our Lord Jesus Christ every day. They sought to kill him, but they could not until the appointed time that God himself had determined. We read here concerning this plot, then the presidents, verse 4, and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Underscore this, but they could find no occasion, none occasion, nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So here, underscore, they could find no fault with him. That's what was said of our Lord Jesus when they delivered him up to Pilate. Even Pilate said that, I find no fault with him. And even as Daniel, he was faithful. In this, he's a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was faithful because God had made him faithful. God had established him as the faithful one. Now, when everybody says, well, dare to be a Daniel, I always smile a little bit because it wouldn't take much for our enemies to scrutinize our lives and to find some fault somewhere. If they get looking around, and certainly today political candidates know this, as soon as a person says they're running for an office, next thing you know, people start digging into their past to look for some kind of skeleton, and they can usually find something, whether it has to do with fraudulent expense accounts or some kind of internal scandals, questionable business deals. These are all things that will bring candidates down. But here we find with Daniel, they scrutinized him, could find nothing except, it says here, in the way that he worshiped God. And we know that with our Lord Jesus Christ, his business in coming into this world from a child, from conception all the way to his ascension back into glory, was for one purpose. That was to glorify his Father. And so that's why I believe we have here a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the only fault they could find with Daniel, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, was how he glorified his Father and did not give glory to men. In fact, when Pilate accused him of not answering him a word when he was about ready to condemn him and said, "Don't you know I have the power to crucify you?" Our Lord Jesus answered and told him and said, "You'd have no power at all but what it is given you of my Father." So that's quite a statement with regard to Daniel's faithfulness, that if they were going to condemn him, it would be simply on how God, by his grace, had caused him to know him in truth and to worship him in all things and desire his glory in all things. Now, here the law of the Medes and Persians that's mentioned in verse 8. Once a king signed a decree, and these enemies knew it, that law could not be altered. And so that's how they attempted to entrap not only the king, but also Daniel, that once this decree was signed, they knew that Daniel would not change his manner. But he was facing a law that could not be changed. I will tell you that with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ coming in this world, he was dealing with a law that could not be changed. The law of God, it had to be satisfied in order for God to be just to justify. God couldn't just look the other way in order to forgive and pardon those that the Lord Jesus Christ came to represent. He was dealing with an inflexible God, inflexible holiness, inflexible justice. And therefore, it was necessary that he earn and establish that righteousness necessary for God to be just and justified. And it took nothing less than perfect obedience to every precept of the law, not in word and deed, but in the spirit, but also the very penalty of the law, which was death. And so we see here where King Darius signed the written decree and made the proclamation that no man should pray during the remainder of the month on pain of being cast into a den of lions. I wonder if that really applied to any one of us, how many would survive or would try to somehow do this in secret. I certainly know that if it was a matter of showing up for worship on a Wednesday or a Sunday as we do, probably there would be a lot of empty seats. The Lord does use persecution to sift out the wheat from the chaff. But this was a very severe penalty of being cast into a den of lions. These were hungry lions, and made so all the more so that when judgment was rendered, it would be certain death to any that were cast into the den of lions. But here now in verses 10 through 15, is where we see Daniel's faithfulness to God that causes him to be condemned to the lion's den. None of what men accused him of or sought for his death would deter him from that faithfulness. And again, here we see Daniel is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his faithfulness, God has justified a people. It's not by our faithfulness, we have none, but it's by his faithfulness. Let's read these verses. Verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah. Remember, Daniel was of the tribe of Judah, so was Christ. "Regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." There again, we see that as a type of God's inflexible justice. God did not alter his justice out of love for his son, or in any way spare his son from what he was to endure because it was his son, even though Darius had an affinity for Daniel and valued him even as a leader, yet he was bound by the law. He couldn't simply determine, well, since it's Daniel, then I'll find another way. But here we see, again, a type of Christ in Daniel's faithfulness, that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel was confronted with a test of his own loyalty. He was a loyal subject of his king. And I will say that with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was submitted to the laws and the rules of the land at that time. He didn't go around as a revolutionary seeking to overthrow the Roman government. There were many that thought that if he was the Messiah, that's what he ought to do. No, he was subject to the rulers of the day and his time, knowing that those rulers had been established by his father and even himself. So he could not be accused of being disloyal to the king. And yet he refused to give the government the measure of obedience that belonged to God alone. Peter and John faced that when they sought to get them to stop preaching in the name of Christ. He said, "Well, judge for yourselves which is better, to obey God or to obey man." And it may be that some of us are put in that position, but we know Daniel's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, could do no other than obey God. And he wasn't a man pleaser. They sought every way they could to unsettle him, and yet it did not change the way that he worshiped his God. He continued as before, it says there, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom. Even before this decree, Daniel didn't let the decree change his actions one way or another. And with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was ever subject unto his Father and was not affected by the actions of those enemies that were against him. They found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They found Daniel just as they knew they would, in communion with his Father. And that's how they often sought to trap our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't for the good that he did that they were against him, but that he, being a man, it says, made himself equal with God. That's what they could not bear. And so Darius, as I said, had an affinity for Daniel and had to weigh his options. He was up all night. And it says there he labored, verse 14, till the going down of the sun to deliver him. You know, this is an important thing for us to consider, how God can be just and justify. How is it that he delivers any sinner? He cannot violate his law. And there's no other way to satisfy this law than for it to be executed. That's the thing about Daniel here. Once the law was written, then it was necessary that he be subjected to the penalty of that law. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, it was purposed from before the foundation of the world that he should be the Savior of sinners. But the decree itself required that he come in the flesh and that he endure the opposition of sinners against himself. And as the writer to the Hebrews says, despising the shame, even of the cross, he laid down his life. And as a result, was honored and glorified, as we're going to see was the case with Daniel here. So in verses 16 through 18, we see how Daniel is preserved in the lion's den. And I believe this is a picture of how Christ was preserved through his sufferings. He was not relieved in any way because of what he had to endure as the Son of God. So verse 16 says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. It's interesting that here's a Babylonian king that, just observing Daniel, knew that Daniel's God was different than all those other little G-O-D-S's that they worshiped. And so his confidence was that Daniel's God would indeed deliver him. And I believe Daniel knew it as well. And that's why he was able to go into the lion's den without fear. Our Lord Jesus Christ was heard in that he feared, it says in Hebrews 7:25, but it wasn't a trembling because of the circumstances. It's a reverence for his God. And I believe Daniel, by the Spirit of God in him, was given that fear of God, that nothing could deter God from delivering him. And so a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Initially, he was up all night because of the decree, and now he passed the night without eating. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Such was the nature of what he knew was his decree and what Daniel was to endure. When he said, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Demonstrated at least a certain knowledge that Darius had concerning Daniel's trust in the Lord. That doesn't mean that he himself was converted, because he refers to Daniel's God as his God. He doesn't say our God, but your God, whom you serve continually. It was enough for this wicked king at least to know there was a difference. And he knew that there was nothing in himself that could spare Daniel from this particular judgment. I think of Pilate after he had to weigh condemning an innocent man, that he sought every way he could. He thought he would just maybe scourge him with a whip and turn him loose. But no, the law required death. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And even though Daniel did not die physically here in the lion's den, yet the time spent in the lion's den is a type of death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he spent 3 days and three nights in the earth upon his death. But it's a type. And here we see that even in that, the Lord, his hand was upon him during this suffering and this trial. Perhaps Daniel even may have prayed what our Lord would have prayed when he faced the lion's den of Satan and of the attacks of men, over in Psalm 22 and verses 21 and 22. We find this prophecy concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. These would have been the words of Christ here in Psalm 22. We know it because of how it begins. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ was not forsaken of his father, in that his father somehow turned his back on him, no more than Daniel was forsaken in the lion's den. The eye of God the Father was continually on him. The question that is asked is, why hast thou left me in this state, in that sense, not to deliver? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And the answer is given in verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God's holy and just. And until complete satisfaction was made, he could not be delivered from that suffering and that pit. Just like Daniel, it had to be executed, and that the law might be satisfied. But in verses 21 and 22, here was the cry, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Just like Daniel may have well prayed such a prayer, it may be also certainly that it was a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would have prayed and cried. Well, now let's see the result in verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. So here we see how Daniel was found alive after the night in the lion's den, just as Christ was found alive after he had suffered and satisfied God's law and justice. Here Daniel, by being thrown in a lion's den, had satisfied the law and justice required of the law of the Medes and Persians, but it typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Having done everything that was required, it was not possible that the grave should hold him. And after 3 days, he was found alive. The women, when they went to the tomb, thinking that they were going to embalm his body, in spite of what the Lord had said, that after 3 days he would rise again, they found the tomb empty and the stone rolled away. Just like Darius here, very early in the morning, since he could not sleep, it was easy for him to rise up early. And we imagine him waiting for the first glimmer of dawn so that he could see how Daniel fared. Well, it was toward the dawning of the day, the first day, that the women went to the tomb and found that Christ was already risen. Also, here it said that God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. We don't know if Daniel actually saw an angel or not, but it was evident that the presence of God was with him there, even in his suffering. We know that God sent angels to minister unto our Lord Jesus Christ, even in the garden before he went to the cross, that it says that an angel was sent and ministered unto him. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. And certainly Christ is the heir, and any that are heirs of salvation are only so in him. And so here it does not surprise us to read how the angel stopped the lion's mouth, and that it was evident that this was God's commendation and approval of Daniel, even in his suffering. As we know, the angels testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was their creator. And coming in the flesh, Peter writes that they desired to look into these things, the amazing truth of how what Christ endured, even though God, yet as a man, that he might redeem a people unto himself. In reality, Daniel's going through this suffering was a representation of Christ representing a people, because there was a whole Jewish people that were a remnant there, even in their captivity, that certainly worshiped God even as Daniel worshiped God. And so this was for their protection, that Daniel should come forth victorious. Now, in verse 24, here we see the fate of those who plotted against Daniel. And there's a lot to say here by way of comparison with our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and the king commanded, verse 24, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. You can see here God in his sovereignty determined that these that had plotted against Daniel should themselves suffer the very condemnation that they had desired on Daniel. And here's where we see also a type of Christ and his work on the cross. It was to save a people, but at the same time, it's a double-edged sword. It condemns all those that desired him to be put to death, and they sought to put him to death, and indeed did, even in saying, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And we know that any that oppose Christ will suffer this condemnation eternally for having denied him and rebelled against him. Now, this is the grace of God, because we know we all are sinners by nature, And we're all rebels by nature. But it pleased God to save some of us by the death of Christ. But all the rest, whatever ill will they purposed on the Lord Jesus Christ, would fall upon them. Such is God's judgment. If Christ is not paid the sin debt of a sinner, then his judgment certainly will be upon those outside of Christ. And so, in verses 25 to 28, we see how Darius decrees that all must honor the God of Daniel. And this is type, as a type of Christ, is reflective of the honor and glory and power that God determined should be given to his son because of his completed work. It says, verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. We know that there can be no peace apart from the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before, notice it doesn't say before Daniel, but the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. It's amazing how even an unconverted king could state such a truth, although he himself, there's no indication that he was ever converted, just like with Nebuchadnezzar. He made some true statements, and yet, as far as we know, the truth was never revealed in him as far as Christ being revealed in him. Yet, we see God's sovereignty. He can cause even a donkey to speak on his behalf or stones to cry out. Such a God he is. And we see in verse 27, he continues, he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heavens and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So we see as well with the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that he accomplished to the glory of his Father, he prospered in that work. And such is the glory of God through the work of Christ, that of all that the Father has given him, he should lose nothing, and that he is to be glorified. Today, he's risen on high, he's seated in the heavenlies, and he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He has never abdicated the throne. Everything that he endured through his sufferings, it was through those sufferings that he should be glorified, and has been. And so we see even as Daniel was preserved in the lion's den, Christ also preserved through his suffering. Not just preserved, but that through his sufferings, he should be risen and ascended, and in all things, all glory and honor be given unto him. I know this is a quick review of this chapter, but I pray that in so studying it, we see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ through the example of Daniel, who was a type. And may the Lord be praised in that. Amen.